जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमोनतीरा वनचारी यमुनतीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम रामानम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Nittai Gaura Haribol, 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 Haribol. Nittai Gaura Haribol, Haribol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudireyed Nascha Prayesha Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishchiki. Srimad, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 22, Text Number 25. Is it 25? Yeah. 24? 25. Yes. Yeah, 25. I said it was 24. Akshnuvam vam van tat viraham munchan bhashpagalam muhu asinchat amba vatsa iti Netra Udai Uduhituhu Shikaha Ashkunvanstadviraham Munchan Bhashpakalam Muhuh. Munchan Bhashpakalam Muhuh. Asinchattam Bhavatseti. Asinchattam Bhavatseti. Netro Deirduhitu Shikaha. Netro Deirduhitu Shikaha. Please read. Ahum Gunmanstadviraham. Munchan Bhashpakalam Muhuhu. Sinchat ambhavat seti tanair dhuitu shikha akshunvan stadviraham unchan vashpakalam muhuhu sinchat ambhavat seti Netro Deir Duhita Shikha. Akshunvanstadviraham. Munchan Bhashpakalam Muhuhu. Asenchadambhavatseti. Netro Deir Duhita Shikha. Anybody else? Mataji? Akshanunstadviraham. Unchan Bhashpakalam Muhuhu. Asinchatambhavatseti. Netro Dei Dohito Shikaha. Word to word meaning Akshanuns. Being unable to bear tadviraham, separation from her, munchan, shedding, bashpakalam, tears, muhuhu, again and again, asinchat, he drenched, amba, my dear mother, Vatsa, my dear daughter, iti, thus, netra udaihi, by the waters from his eyes, duhituhu, of his daughter, shikaha, the locks of hair. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The emperor was unable to bear the separation of his daughter. Therefore, tears poured from his eyes again and again, drenching his daughter's head as he cried, "My dear mother, my dear daughter." Purport. The word Amba is significant. A father sometimes addresses his daughter in affection as mother, and sometimes as my darling. The feeling of separation occurs because until the daughter is married, she remains the daughter of the father. But after her marriage, she is no longer claimed as a daughter in the family. She must go to the husband's house. For after marriage, she becomes the property of the husband. According to Manu Samhita, a woman is never independent. She must remain the property of the father while she is not married, and she must remain the property of the husband until she is elderly and has grown up children of her own. In the old age, when the husband has taken sannyas and left home, she remains the property of the sons. A woman is always dependent either upon the father, husband, or elderly sons. that will be explained in the life of Devayuti. Devayuti's father handed over responsibility of her to the husband, Kardamuni. And in the same way, Kardama also left home, giving the responsibility to his son, Kapiladeva. This narration will describe these events one after another. Om Ajnadvirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupak Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadhantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utavadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Saganalita Shivishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So we have two subjects to speak about today. One is the Bhagavatam and its this verse and the subject matter of the verse. And the other one is, of course, here the Purnima was yesterday. But in India, Purnima is celebrated today. Today is Vasanta Ras. And also the appearance day of Radhakunda during Krishna's time. And also Shamanand Prabhu's appearance day. So many things are there. But we'll first talk about this particular verse. And maybe in the evening, Sakshi Gopal Prabhu's place, we'll discuss about the glories of Radhakunda and other aspects. But just still give a hint to the appearance of Radhakunda even in the morning class also. So yesterday, this temple hall was very vibrant with the children. Today, only adults are there. So the energy is low for me also. So we now have this very important subject matter, which requires a lot of clarity. Because when we hear about the Vedas, the Vedic culture, immediately the first thing which comes to the mind, especially to the Western audience, and especially to those who have some idea of Vedic culture based on the book's information given by the colonial rule. Because you know, Bharata was ruled by the British for many years, and they wrote the history of Bharata, they translated the Veda. They were the speakers about the Vedic culture in the English language. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and after that Srila Prabhupada was the first person on this planet to really remove all the misconceptions which people have about the Veda and Vedic culture, especially regarding the subject matter of woman. A lot of misconception has been propagated. It is known as a propaganda war done by the colonial. Colonial means basically the Europeans, whenever they ruled around the world, they projected that we are the superior race. And all the cultures around the world was degraded. It is we who gave the culture. We gave the science. We gave the knowledge. That was a propaganda war done by the Europe. That is why the ethnic cultures around the world, they were depicted as low class, third grade, primitive, stone age. These were the words used by the propaganda war of the European Eurocentric worldview. And Srila Prabhupada, he, wherever he got an opportunity, he thrashed this worldview and then presented what actual view is. To give you some idea, not only just in India, I have been to South America, second time I had been there, Peru and Bolivia, the devotees invited me. So once I asked about the audience, especially it was the Independence Day of Bolivia. Why I'm talking about Bolivia? Because you should know that the colonial rule, how it destroyed even the American culture, the original American culture, ethnic culture. It was the Independence Day of Bolivia. About 50 people were sitting, and they were all ethnic South Americans. Few devotees, only 3-4 devotees were there. Then I asked them, congratulations on your Independence Day. I just want to ask you, what is your language? Then they told Spanish. Then I asked, but Spain is 7,000 miles away from you. I'm asking about your language. I don't ask what language you speak. It was a shock for them. Then one old man, he stood up and told that this is not our language, this is not our culture. So that is, I told him, and this is what I want to convey to you. This is not your language, this is not your culture. I told that in your culture, you worshipped sun god. In your culture, you worshipped cow, mother cow. So this is not your language. Your language is Quechua, and your language is very close to Sanskrit. In this way, I've explained that how the Eurocentric worldview presents that we are the original Aryans, and that is why the World War II took place. And everywhere around the world, who were there? Cannibals were there. Casteism was there. And women were degraded. They were used like slaves. So this is the worldview given by the Eurocentric, this is the old Eurocentric worldview. But that is not so. Because every conqueror, he writes the history of that place which has been conquered from their perspective. And then tell that we are the people who had delivered these people from low culture. We gave culture, we gave science, we gave education, we gave art. So that has been the narration, not only just for India, it is the narration which was done throughout the world, unfortunately. And more unfortunate is that we take that narration as truth. We take that narration as truth. And somehow, even many devotees accept that narration as truth. And then they conclude that Vedic culture means women are degraded. Especially, there is a verse from the Manu Samhita, which is quoted by Prabhupada, but he just gave the translation. So I'll tell a small story regarding this. Even in India, there are some forces, the communist forces, anti-Vedic forces, which try to install this ideology, European ideology, saying that Veda is degrading, Vedic culture degrades women. And there's a big movement. It's a bigger movement in India than many of the Western movements which talk about it. Basically, communism, and of course, its branches. And even the books written by in the curriculum of India. It is all secular. It takes the name of secularism and then propagates anti-Vedic values, and so that they can control the country. Of course, there is a bigger game plan behind it. So there is one state, province or what you say, in India called Kerala. It is known as Land of God, but so many years back, I was giving a series of lectures on Bhagavad Gita known as Journey of Self-Discovery. About 30 people used to come, very intellectual people, and I was giving the class. And one of the days, one person came and then invited me that tomorrow we are having a seminar or a talk or a sammelan on the Vedic aspect, Vedic view of woman. So why don't you come? So it was next day morning time. I went around 11 o'clock. So there were around 500 to 600 people in the audience. And then I could notice that I was called to be insulted. I was called to be insulted there. That was the whole purpose. And that all the communist ideology people were there. And many Christians and Muslims were also there. And I was, and they were all speaking about one verse, one line. That line is from Madhu Samhita's one verse, only one line was there. That was, Strishu Swatantram Narhati. Means, women are not qualified for independence. That was the line, caption, like Prabhupada says here in the purport. That was the line, that was the caption. And I understood that I was what purpose which I was called for. So then many were speaking how Veda and Vedic cultures, Veda is all just imposition of the Brahmin community on the lower community. They are not from Bharata, they came from somewhere, they ruled over. It was just a blasphemous way, blaspheming Veda and Vedic culture. And I was as a guest, they invited me as a guest and they made me hear all these things. And then sarcastically, the person who was in holding the mic, who is the master of ceremony, he called me, "Now we have a Swamiji. He is going to enlighten us about this topic." With sarcasm, he was caught. Then of course, I thought of Prabhupada and then went on the stage. Took the mic, I was the last speaker. Then I asked one question to everyone. Such a nice topic you have selected. Nice topic you have selected. Then I told, you know which book is it from? You all told, Manu Samhita. Manu Samhita. Because Swayambhu Manu wrote this book. Swayambhu Manu wrote that book here. Not the subject matter is Swayambhu Manu. And it's stuck. Then I told, do you know the entire verse? Then they kept quiet because nobody knew what is the entire verse. there was one, just a small thing. There was one a Muslim. He left his body and his son was not going to the masjid anymore, mosque anymore. The Mauli came, that the priest came and told, "Hey, why are your father used to come every day? Why are you not coming? At least Friday you should come to the mosque." Then he told, "You see, I read Quran. It is written that you should not go to a mosque." He showed, "Where is it?" Then he opened the book and showed, there was a line there, "You should not go to the mosque." Then the Mauli got shocked, "What is this?" So then he opened the next page. For them, the next page is like this. You're not like this. You have to go next page. There it is written, "Without washing your hands and feet." So if you take only one part of it, then you'll be lost, isn't it? Then I told the story because there are many Muslims sitting there. They also laughed.
Oh, it's true. You should know the other part. Naturally, because the whole, I made the whole thing more comfortable for people to hear by cracking a joke like this. And they are all very eager to hear, in one sense, except few. The organizers were very upset. And the audience were open-minded, in one sense. They wanted to hear because I was presenting in a very no aggression and very peacefully. And they appreciated the way I was managing my own emotions because they were all really, the whole purpose of calling me was sarcasm, and it was not a real invitation. So then I told, how many of you know the entire words? Then they told, no, we don't know. Then I asked the organizer, why didn't you put the entire words here? Then they were also confused what to do. So then I told that, how many of you would like to know the entire verse, what Manu has written? He may be right, wrong, good, bad, ugly, but we should know the entire verse, isn't it? Then they all raised their hands, some reluctantly and some had to raise the hand, the entire verse. Now I told, the entire verse goes like this. Pita rakshati kaumare, Pati rakshati yauvane, putraha rakshati bardhakke, strishu swatantram narhati. This is the entire verse. Get this press properly. I'll tell the English for it. Very simple. Rakshati means what? Protection, isn't it? In the balya vastha means when she's a kid, in the childhood, the girl is protected by whom? Father. In her youth, who protects her? Husband protects her, isn't it? And in the old age, who protects her? Son protects her. Strishu swatantram narhati. So, woman should not be independent. Now, I ask them, what is the subject matter of this verse? Is it whether woman should be given independence or not? Is that the subject? If the subject is protection, what is the subject? The subject matter of the verse is protection. The subject matter of the verse is protection. Now I ask all of them, how many of you want that your daughter should be protected? Then they told, yes, we want our daughter to be protected. Isn't it? Yeah, everybody wants their daughter to be protected. Now, how many of you want your wife to be protected? They told, yes. How many of you want your mother to be protected? They told, yes, we want our mother to be protected. So the subject matter is this verse is what? Protection. The subject matter is not the word swatantram or independence. Now, still we should explain the word independence here. Strishu swatantram narhati. If you go by this only one line, the translation is, woman should never be given independence. That is what is the general conclusion. But actually, since the subject matter of the verse is protection, you have to interpret, understand the last line according to the subject matter. What is subject matter? That is protection. Now, how you should understand? You should not let the situation so become so degraded that the women should independently protect themselves. The society should be designed in such a way that never ever a time should come that in the society that she is alone, and for her protection she has to do it independently. That is the subject matter. It is not the question of whether she should be given independence or not. The situation is that she should not struggle independently for her protection. She should be protected in all circumstances by everyone in all stages of life, in all aspects of life, whether it is financial, whether it is social, whether emotional. So the subject matter is protection, raksha. And what was the result of it? All were all were quiet. In the entire 400 people who were there, all were quiet. In the next day, it was the same evening, the seminar which I was giving, only 30 people used to attend. 70 people came, Muslims came and sat in the Bhagavad Gita class. So it is our responsibility to project the scriptures in the proper light. Otherwise, the kind of misinterpretation, whether philosophical misinterpretation or social misinterpretation, is so much that it's very difficult to really identify what is truth. So it is a great responsibility from our side. Anything from the Veda, anything from Vedic literatures, including Manusamhita, should be presented in a proper light. Because in the 10 offenses, one of the offenses is what? Shruti Shastra Nindanam. To blaspheme Vedic literatures and literatures in pursuance of Vedic literatures, of Vedas. So now, if we reject certain aspects of the Vedic literatures just because it doesn't fit into the communist ideology or the modern understanding or modern circumstance, then it is an offense. So no part of Veda or Vedic literatures are in pursuance of the literatures, Smriti, Shruti, Puranas, all these things. They are absolute. They are all by Krishna and those who are very advanced souls. So Manu Samhita or Manu Smriti is a very important Smriti. Now, when you talk about Manu Smriti, there is a thing, hey, there's a lot of casteism there in it. There are many verses which talks about the superiority of the Brahmanas and inferior to the Shudras. All these things are there. It is a fact. Now, how you understand it, how you interpret it, how you explain it, that is what is important. Because Manu has clearly told that this Smriti, which I have written in the age of Satyayuga, and according to the age, you have to interpret it accordingly. And that should be done by qualified, well-read Brahmanas. It is a fact. So, just because certain things are in the scriptures which it is very difficult for you to digest, or you see it from the prism of the modern morality point of view, then you rejecting the scripture, that is a big offense. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has told very nicely that morality is a glorified asset on the platform of delusion. Morality is a glorified asset on the platform of delusion. Because we have some preconceived values of morality and we try to superimpose those values of morality which we have conceived, and then we try to superimpose on the scriptures or even unto the Supreme Lord, and then say, how is it possible? And this is not a problem in the recent years or only in the Western society. Even this is a problem which Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur faced. Because to associate with a woman who is married or unmarried, that is immoral. It's a fact. Now, there are many Brahmanas, Smartha Brahmanas in Raja during the time of Vishwanatha Thakur. They wanted to kill Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur because Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur was propagating? He was propagating Parakya. Parakya, because Parakya Bhavaiti Vrajate Prachar. So in Raja, what rasa is there? Parakya rasa. So they thought, we are devotees of Krishna. How can you say Krishna is immoral? Isn't it? Now, they went to the extent that they wanted to kill Vishwanatha Thakur. Now, when Radhakund, Vishwanatha Thakur is coming, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and he's quite old, and he's coming, and then they were waiting behind the bushes to kill him. And all of a sudden, they went to kill him, and they saw there was no Vishwanatha Thakur. There was a small little girl. She was plucking flowers. And they all went and asked the girl, did you see any old man here? He told, no, I did not see. Then looking here and there, then they saw this small, beautiful little girl. She took the form of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Then they understood she is a Manjari, and then they paid obeisances.
Then they asked, now how can you say that Parakiya Bhava, you are devotee of Krishna? Then Srila Vishwanatha Thakur, he asked them one question. He told, what is the place between Barsana and Nandagaon? A famous place. Then all of them told, it is Sanketvan. So then Srila Vishwanatha Thakur asked them, that what happens in Sanketvan? Then they all told, it is a Surata Leela which happens, the nighttime pastimes happens, of Radha and Krishna, they meet, it is a secret meeting place, they all told about, because they are Rajavasis, they are Brahmanas, Rajavasis. Then Srila Vishwanatha Thakur asked them, if Radharani is the Bahu, means daughter-in-law of Krishna, and Krishna and Radharani are married, then why Krishna and Radharani has to meet in a secret place? Like their husband, wife, they don't have to meet in a secret place. They can meet in their house, isn't it? At night time, Radharani can be there in Nanda Baba's house. What is the problem? So then they all realized. Krishna, he after Yashoda makes him sleep, he would jump from the window and then wait for the Priya Narmasakas and he would run. And there Radharani would jump from the window and wait for the Sakis, and then they would meet at Sanketvan. And that is a secret place, Sanket Vihari, very confidential place where these wonderful pastimes happen. And nicely described by in the Govinda Lilamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Very wonderful books, talks about the sort of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So now, what was the problem? The problem with those Brahmanas, even though they are Rajavasis, knows Krishna's pastime devotee, is very highly cultured, highly adored. In spite of that, this one disease, what is the disease? That is to superimpose the self-conceived morality on to the transcendental subject matters. That is the problem. So what happens is, we somehow get some, by birth or by your own sanskaras or by reading some books and some school teaching, the teachers, we pick up some moral so-called values. They're actually not values. We have a preconceived idea of some morality. And what we do, when we read the scriptures, we superimpose that and then try to understand the scriptures based on the prism of the illusion of morality, the illusory moral principles. So then we land up into a big problem that is offending the Veda and the Vedic cultures, offending Manu and Manusmriti, Manu culture, isn't it? So this is the first subject matter which everybody has to understand, that don't try to see from the scriptures, from the prism of the self-conceived moral values, what you have picked up from here and there. Not one, many. Actually, when other subject matter, when I gave the first ever Bhagavad Gita course, when I joined just a new devotee, then I was giving a seminar in one on the Bhagavad Gita course in one place in Mumbai. So there was one lady who is in charge of the entire society. She's the chairperson, and at the end of the class, I asked any questions. And she raised the question. Swamiji, in the Bhagavad Gita, I read your Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. After that, I stopped reading Bhagavad Gita because he has told women are less intelligent, isn't it? So she stopped the Bhagavad Gita, reading Bhagavad Gita, because he told, from that day onwards, but somehow I came here just because I am the chairperson of the society and I gave the premises for you because I have some soft corner for all of you, but still. But I told, thank you very much for asking this question, because that shows that you are upset with the thing, but still you have some faith. That is why you are asking a question, isn't it? Otherwise, why anybody should ask a question? So then, I spoke that. See, when it is said that women require protection, What does it mean? Then she told, now these days women are equal to men. How can you say, Bhavamiji, why can you say degraded like that? Then I asked, my question is that, do women require protection or not? So she became a little bit sober. Then I told that, who requires protection? Generally people think, weaker people require protection. That is not the case. Like in your house, you have some chappals, you have some shoes, you have some rags. Where you keep those things? Keep it somewhere in the corner, isn't it? Why? Even a thief comes, steals them, no problem. Because they are not very valuable. Now, if you have nice, wonderful jewels, and necklace, where you keep? In a very protected place. Why? Because they are weak. No, that is not the perspective. It is not the question of somebody is weak or somebody is strong. The subject matter is who is valuable, who is not valuable. What is valuable, what is not valuable. So valuable things require protection. So, but what we generally think, weaker people require protection. That is not the case here. So we have to see things from a very different perspective. Then I asked her one question. That, it's a very natural in our house. I've seen in our house, in a relative's house, in a friend's house. You know, I come from a village where a lot of Vedic values are seen. There, the girl child, lot of rules are imposed on the girl child. Yes, she cannot go alone, she cannot go, lot of rules are imposed. Then the modern society feels, why all the rules and regulations only for the girl or not for the boy or what? So this is the, she cannot just go anywhere. Independently, that all there. So from the colonial perspective, it is like you think they are weak people. They cannot defend themselves. That is why you are imposing so many rules and regulations on them. That is not the case. It is because they are important. I'll give a small example. See, the prime minister of the country. I don't know about your country here, but the prime minister of the country in India. He is a prime minister, very popular person, you know very well. He comes to a particular city. Can he go wherever he wants? He cannot go. He cannot go wherever he wants. He is sitting in the car, and the whole security, wherever the security tells only he can go there, he cannot go. In spite of being so powerful, he cannot be independent of the security, who is weaker than him. Why? Because he's important. Got the point? The subject matter is about being precious and important, not about being weaker or strong. That is not the subject here. So the rules and regulations are more on one because they are important, because they need to be protected. So it is not a question of their being low or degraded. So these are the certain perspectives we need to take when we hear certain things which may not be palatable according to the moral perspectives what you have. So the Veda is absolute. And the scriptures which are in alliance with the Vedas, especially the scripture written by Manu Samhita, is not an ordinary scripture. Who is Manu? He is a Shakti Avesh avatar of the Lord. How can he? He is beyond four defects. He is not ordinary personality. And Srila Prabhupada, he talks about Manu Samhita, coined Manu Samhita, and appropriately, Manu Samhita was written by Swayambhuva Manu, the son of Brahma. And now coming to here, his affection for his daughter. The finer sentiments of human life, had to be understood. Otherwise, it is very difficult to be Krishna conscious. You may find these are all material affections, or daughter, father, all these things, they are all material. Okay. Who created this material world? It is Krishna who created this material world. What is the purpose of creating this material world? So that we become Krishna conscious. So that everything in this world can be used in Krishna's service. For that, let us go to the dawn of creation. Brahma, he lost the Veda and he was not knowing how to create. And he was meditating on the Lord. In one of the Puranas, this story comes. Lord appeared in front of him. Pancharatra scriptures talk about this story. Then Brahma worshipped the Lord and told, I want to do creation because it's your desire as a service I should do. Then how can I do this? Then the Lord gave a deity to him. That deity is Ranganatha, you know, Sri Ranga, Vimana. Then he told, you worship the deity. Then the Brahma told, how can I worship? Then the Lord instructed him for 5 nights. Ratra means, Ratri means night. 5 nights instruction was given to Brahma. And he told Brahma that you just contemplate on a particular object which is required to worship the deity. And best by your contemplation, the object will be created. Just by your mind, by thinking only it will be created. So Brahma, he thought, I require this object for worshipping the Lord. I require this object for worshipping the Lord. The moment he was thinking about that object, that was created. And he opened his eyes. And he saw the whole world being created. What does that mean? Every aspect in this world was created with one purpose. What is that one purpose? To worship the Lord. Whether sthula or gross, or the subtle aspects of this world, they have all been created with only one purpose, that is to worship Krishna. So when you see this world with this perspective, then the whole, you are Krishna conscious. If you see that the objects of this world as Maya, then you are a Mayavadi. The objects of this world is not Maya. The world is not Maya. Maya is in your your consciousness. To see the objects of this world, the sentiments of this world without relationship with Krishna, that is called Maya. That is why in the Chatushloki, Krishna told Brahma, Ritetartham na pratiyetna pratiyetchatmani tam vidhyadatmano mayam ithabhasutatatamaha. So, Ritetartham it pratiyetna pratiyetchatmani. When you see an object, without connection with Krishna, independent of Krishna, that is Maya. So perception, Maya is in perception, not in the object, not in that sentiment. Now the sentiments in this world, father's affection for the daughter, which is very, very strong, it is unimaginable. Even mother cannot understand the sentiments which a father has for the daughter, especially at the time of marriage. At the time of Vivaha, only a father can understand. Only a daughter can understand. Even mother also cannot understand this. That's the very fine sentiment which every father has. Because he cannot cry, but the cry is there. That is the sentiment. And that is what is expressed here. He unable to bear. Ashakkurman means ashaknoti. He was not able to bear. What was he not able to bear? Tad viraham. Viraha means what? He's a separation from the daughter. Now it's a very difficult situation because his affection for the daughter is so much. Why? Why are his father's affection for the daughter is so much? There is a very subtle reason behind it. Because a daughter in the Vedic literatures is known as in the Vedic culture, known as Ubhayakula Nistharini. Ubhayakula Nistharini means she delivers two families, two vamshas, two dynasties. One dynasty in which she is born, and the other dynasty where she is going. So that is why she is Ubhayakula Nistharini. Now, son can only deliver his family, his father, his ancestors. But a daughter, she delivers both. Two kulas. It's not just only the where she is born. Ubhaya means two. Kula means dynasty, is nistharadi. So his sentiment is more. One is that I have to get her married. Of course, marriage is not the proper word to be used because marriage means a legal contract between a man and a woman. And now we get married, and in that there is a separation clause also, like when two partners come together. So this is one of the things. That is why the father has a fine sentiment towards her. And at the same time, he has to get her married, the responsibility. At the same time, he cannot live without her. So there is a relief. Last verse talks, previous verse talks about he is relieved of the responsibility. At the same time, he cannot live without her. Cannot live without her. So that's the very sign. That is why tad viraham munchan bashpakalam muhuhu. He was cleaning his eyes, tears which are flowing. Asinchat amba vatseti. I taught one point and then finished class because it's 9 o'clock. Netro deir duhitasake shikaha. The tears were flowing through his eyes and then drenching the entire hairs, her shika, her veni. Braided hair. It was drenching her braided hair. And then what was he saying? Hey Amba. Amba, vatsa iti. Amba means what? Mother. So, just imagine, father addressing the daughter as mother. I was a small kid, maybe 7-8 year old kid. I used to wonder. Once I really wondered, my grandfather, who was like 60-year-old, and had my cousin. She is just 5-year-old girl. Her name was Sita. Her name is Sita. And she was playing around, and my grandfather called her, addressed her. He wanted to call. He can just say, Sita, come here. Tell, isn't it? First, I'll tell it my language and translate it because it's more easy. My language is Telugu language. Her name is Sita. He can just say, Sita, come here. But how did he say? Amma, Sitamma Talli, Itu Ramma. First he addressed this girl, 5-year-old girl, granddaughter, as Amma means mother. Sita, and he did not say Sita, Sitamma he told, mother Sita. O Talli means, or also means mother. Come here, again say mother. 4 times. He addressed that 5-year-old girl as mother, 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 mother. Why? Because to install into that girl's consciousness, you are not a girl, you are not a woman, you are mother. Because that is the only concept which can make them overcome all the problems in their life. The moment a girl thinks I'm a girl, she'll have problems. The moment a woman thinks I'm a woman, she has problems. The moment a woman thinks I'm mother, she can take the problems of the entire world and digest. That is the power in this one concept of Amba. Asinchat Amba. Amba means mother. Then she says, Vatsa, oh my daughter. She's going, that is why she's seeing him as daughter. So that is a power. It is so great that we address as mother. Here, mother Parvati, mother, the address. So Prabhupada installed this culture of Swayambhu Manu, of addressing woman not as woman. Because when you say woman, naturally people see her as an object of enjoyment. Or object of the, it's called weaker sex, all these things are coming into the picture. But when you say mother, Matru Deva Bhava, yesterday I taught the children, Matru Deva Bhava, immediately Guru Bhava comes, respect comes. So that's the cultural aspects of this particular verse. And it's already time, we'll stop here. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you, Maharaj. You mentioned that the daughter can deliver both families.
Yes.
What do you mean by that, deliver?
Deliver means by her chastity and her divine qualities, she can protect her family as well as her family because of her chastity and piety. So the word deliver is an English word, but actually it is she who brings fame to both the families. When Janaka, I wanted to tell this, that Janaka Maharaj giving his daughter Sita to Lord Ramachandra, there, Iyam Sita, Mamasuta, Tava Dharmachari, Dharmachari Tava, Praticha, Enam, Panim Grinhisha Pranina. This is a verse which Janaka Maharaj told when he is offering daughter Sita. At that time, he says, Saha Dharmachari Tava, and he says ultimately, you see, because of my daughter, O Lord Rama, you are going to become famous. So, in the cultural value systems, when you get a daughter from a very cultured family, the mother-in-law, she goes and tells everyone, you know, we got a daughter, we got Lakshmi in our house. So, it's a very difficult to understand in these circumstances, but it is there. They become very happy. And when the daughter-in-law comes first time to the house, and there is a ceremony, then she is treated like Lakshmi. She is dressed like Lakshmi Devi herself. And a lot of worship happens. There is a very important ceremony. Anyway, that's what is called deliverance. Brings fame. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Mataji. You are near her only, so you can.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. It seems that the way you're speaking, it's ideal. But like even our ISKCON, it doesn't necessarily play out that way. You know what I mean? It doesn't, the women aren't really treated as the way that you're talking about it. It seems unfortunate because it's so beautiful the way you explain it, but not so much of Isanga doesn't understand that. So much so that, you know, if a child is born and it's a girl, oftentimes, not so much in ISKCON, but in the greater, you know, Indian society, it's a disappointment. You know, not like, oh my goodness, this is so wonderful. She can deliver both families. So what to do in
yes.
order to like,
yes.
Propagate.
Yes, you are right. There are certain propagandas. That is one fact. There are certain facts also. Like just because few people, they have a particular ideology in a particular community, that doesn't reflect the entire community. Because ultimately, community is not the truth. The truth is scripture. So what we are speaking is scripture. There is a lot of gap between the ideal scriptural talk which we did and the actual situation. Now, that doesn't mean that we should not speak these things. How will you bring a change? By speaking. Srila Prabhupada went on speaking, he brought change. Isn't it? So just because some situation is not ideal, we cannot give up speaking ideal things. Srila Prabhupada came here. He knew, in sitting in front of hippies, he's talking about no intoxication. Isn't it? He's talking about no illicit sex. He's sitting, he did it, and he brought a revolution. So revolution comes by going on speaking, which is ideal, and then showing compassion to the situation. You cannot compromise speaking ideal things, thinking it is not practical. If Prabhupada would have not thought, oh, it's not practical, I got attracted to ISKCON because I belong to a Madhva Sampradaya and I was worshipping Krishna and was there. It's there, some pious family.
But the whole purpose of getting attracted to ISKCON, when I saw the very first time into Mayapur as in from the college youth program, then I saw the Harinam Sankirtan in which Western ladies are wearing sari. It's a fact, wearing sari, the Western ladies, like you are wearing saris. I was shocked, I had tears in my eyes. So it is Prabhupada, he did not think, oh, it's not very ideal, I'll not speak. So just because something is not ideal, that doesn't mean you'll not speak something which is ideal. Did Prabhupada compromise on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness? He wrote Bhagavad Gita as it is. Just because people don't, no, you go on speaking it and people will accept it. But at the same time, you should have compassion toward the situation or people in that non-ideal situation. So don't be much bothered about it. Things will change. Just go on speaking this, things will change.
You should speak more. Speak to the GBC. Just keep on speaking.
Yeah, you have. I don't need more time, but still, okay. Yeah, please. Yeah, okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. You nicely explained how the women should be protected, but I didn't catch when that woman ask, I don't want to read Bhagavad Gita anymore because women are less intelligent. So how what was your answer about that?
You're a Russian? Okay. I have less intelligence about Russian language. Is it any problem in that? If you ask me to speak about Russian, in Russian. Do you have intelligence of speaking Russian? Do I have it? Okay, do you have the intelligence of speaking Hindi? You know Hindi. You don't know. That means you don't have intelligence of speaking Hindi. So, it is a particular aspect. The particular aspect of one aspect is sad-asad-bhedam. Sadasatbedam means to discriminate between eternal and temporary. In that aspect, Krishna has given them less intelligence with a purpose. Like in military, if you have too much intelligent person, then he is not fit for military. We require some less intelligent people in military because he should not use his brain. He should just follow what has been told. Isn't it? Huh? Like Pujari, he should not be having too much of intelligence. He should just go do things what has been told there. If he's too intelligent, why like this, why like that, then he'll not be able to do the puja, isn't it? So for accomplishing a particular purpose, you require some people who have intelligence in a particular aspect and having less intelligence in a particular aspect. I'll tell you about it. Hope nobody is disturbed about the time is getting over. It's a very important subject because, you know. So let us talk about the psychology of woman and man. There are two aspects. One is emotion, other is logic. Man, either he is totally emotional or he is using logic. This is by nature's law. Woman, they can have logic and emotion going together. Constantly going together. That is why 80% of the work in this world can only be done by women. Especially taking care of the child. Now there is a baby. Now mother takes care of the baby. Now she has gone for some taking bath or something like that. Told the husband, no, I'm going to take bath, take care of the baby. The baby starts crying. The husband goes, oh, baby is crying. And he tries to do something. What happens? The baby cries more. Because he's too emotional. When he's crying more, and then he gets fed up and says, get lost. You know, it's your baby. You take care. I'm going. So he uses logic. I cannot do. Let me go. But this mother comes and he uses what? Both emotion and logic together. And then she does. So from the
point of view of discriminating between good and bad, right and wrong, and especially temporary and eternal. When somebody dies in the house, the man has the ability to say, "Boy, not the body, spirit, soul, nothing happens." So he does all the work required to do the funeral work, etc., etc., very stably. But the woman, in spite of reading the Bhagavad Gita 100 times, I'm telling you, when somebody dies, naturally there will be crying. In that aspect. And because of that, decision making is not their forte. What to speak of big decisions? If you take a woman to a sari shop, cloth shop, you ask her to decide which to purchase. It's very difficult to decide that or this or that. They come and ask a man, you tell me which is better. It is by default. So decision making ability, that is not in that psychology, but it's nature's law. It is not that I saying, you're saying. It is by the arrangement of nature, isn't it? What to do? It's like that. Okay, that is to accomplish a particular purpose. Otherwise, how will the world run? You have to do certain things. Especially art, decoration. You see the flower garlands. How many of you have seen 5 men getting together every day and making flower garlands for the deity? I have not seen a single temple. Even if you ask a man to make the flower garland, there was one brahmachari who was in the deity department. When he makes the flower garland, 10 minutes over. For him, whole purpose is to make the garland and get out. But for her, it is not like that. It is what? No, I don't like this, that should be there, it should be there. No, one this I pick, and then they fight among themselves, and all these, that. Oh, this perfection can come only when you have logic and intelligence going together. At that time, you go and tell time is getting over, they say get lost. No, we want to make it to perfection. Isn't it? So that's required. Otherwise, who will come and then, if 5 men making garlands, they will come and say, what is this? So if you want beautiful garlands, then you require that kind of psychology. Isn't it? That's psychology. So to accomplish some work, a particular kind of mentality is required. And in having less intelligence is a particular mentality, is an advantage. Got it? Yeah. Yes, yes.
So the importance perspective, women are much yes. valued than men.
Yes, yes. Lakshmi, Sakshat Lakshmi. You are from Tamil Nadu, you know very well. When a woman is married and comes to your house, they say, Sakshat Lakshmi. They say it or not?
Yes.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
In the same
so we
Tamil
stop
Nadu.
Here, anything we can discuss.
No, no.
Personally.
In
yeah.
the same Tamil Nadu, where the deity is the first preference to the men god.
No, nothing. There is no men and women in deities. There is Para and Shakti. Radharani is not woman. And neither Krishna is man. There is para. Para means the Purusha and Prakriti, Shakti. Don't compare with Radharani, one woman, and Krishna man. It's not our philosophy. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.